Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be true and pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. 7 long semesters, 3 J terms, and 12 summer sessions, and I got to walk across here yesterday, and that was exciting. And I thought about the fact that so many of you have sat in class with me together, and then I thought, wait a minute, you may not recognize me because I always sit on the front row. I get there early and kind of leave late, so I figured I'd do this. Now, oh yeah, I remember him. Preparation. That's kind of the word that jumped out at me through this season. Preparation. And I think it's fitting that we go through this in the season of Advent. This season in our lives and this season in Advent just seem to run together. Because with preparation comes anticipation. Oh, yeah. Anticipation for what lies ahead. It dawned on me that as I read this passage and I had the idea of preparation in my mind, that we prepare ourselves every day. And if we could read this verse that Paul read so well, if we could read that verse to charge us up every morning, oh God, you are my God. What a way to start the day. To remind us that it is God that we serve, that it is God that we can help other people understand. And in that preparation, I was reminded of my daddy when I was growing up, when he was ready to go, and let me tell you, when Big Daddy was ready to go, it was time to go. And so he would say throughout the house, lace them up, let's go. Now, I even looked on the internet to make sure that he wasn't quoting someone that I was going to quote that didn't get credit. Well, I couldn't find it. So if you find it to some person, then let me know. But excuse my ignorance. But lace them up, let's go. And then I started remembering the times that lace them up is very appropriate. When I was a kid, we would go hiking. And we'd go out to the park. I grew up in Houston, so it was great to get out with the family. And I was the oldest, so I would help my little brothers and my sister get ready. Now, interestingly, it was my little sister who taught me how to tie my shoe. But as I got older, I would help my younger siblings. You're laughing. It was my younger siblings where I would help them lace it up so we could go, help them with their shoes. Whenever I'd go hiking with my hiking boots, right before we would go, I would cinch up those laces so it would make the boot fit nice and tight around my foot and around my ankle. Then you don't have to worry about things. So in preparation, lace them up. And then when I had a chance to play football, not only would I lace up my shoes tightly, I would even wear a pair of shoes one size smaller on my biggie old foot so that my foot wouldn't slide around in my cleats so I could play better and more effectively. As we prepare ourselves, then as we lace them up so we can get ready to go, then that helps us with the mindset, oh God, you are my God, to help us mentally lace up our mind to have that direction as we venture forth. And in that anticipation as we go forth, whatever God may ask of us, to do. When Sherry and I left Texas with our U-Haul and the car on the trailer, and we caravaned up here, we pulled in to the lot over there behind the bookstore. We didn't have a place to live. We went into the student services center, and thankfully they had the book the book of places to rent. We made one phone call. Yes, would you like to see it? We drove over there, saw it, signed the lease, and it was right next door to Paul Allen, who, by the way, lived 30 miles from where we did back then, which is really cool. As we continue that anticipation, not knowing what the future holds, we do not know, but we continue to be open with that anticipation. And so I found here the foundation of preparation right here. People for many, many, many years spent time, effort, and money to make sure that this place existed. And thank God that this place existed. And then the alumni that have come through here that continue to nurture us, and I'm sure we all have alumni friends that encourage us and helped us prepare to be here. And then the faculty and staff. The faculty who had spent all their years pretty much doing what we did for a longer period of time, and obviously from their stories, a lot harder, as they prepared to become professors so that we could learn from them, and they've done a great job. Yesterday, I did a crazy thing. My wife thought I had lost my mind because when I got ready to come to graduation, I reached down, I laced them up. I laced up my work boots. My work boots that I've worn for 3 years when I work maintenance at this institution. Because you see, I am very thankful that we have this institution that people have given of their time and their effort and their money that we have. Because of that institution, I have gained academic and spiritual knowledge so I can be prepared to go out into the future. But because I had the chance to work with such wonderful women and men that are servants, then they taught me how to serve. How to serve when it's time, and you've seen the maintenance folks around, and they go into places that we wouldn't ordinarily go. And they do things up on high ladders that we really shouldn't ever probably should do. But they help me find the perfect balance. The perfect balance of academics, of spirituality, and of service. I wish you could have had the same experience in your seminary career, and I'm sure you have had, because God does that. God helps us see things, and God puts us in places where we can learn from one another. And so back to the scripture verse, back to the psalm. Oh God, you are my God. And so it really doesn't matter how bad it gets, because I want you, God, as much as the thirstiest of thirsty needs a drink of water. That's how much I want to be with you, God. And God responds. God responds like the loving mother bird over the chicks in the nest. The wings of the angel cover us. The wings, your wings, cover us and hover over us. The wings of protection. Because we can feel that. We can sense that. We can see that. The balance of academics, the balance of spirituality, and the balance of service. So lace them up and let's go. It may be your tennis shoes, it may be your work boots, it may be whatever shoes you wear when you preach and teach and go out and serve, because it is out there that need to know that the loving wings of God, the angel wings, will be over them. And we need to show them that hope. And we can do so with that preparation and anticipation for the future. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Have to bend this down a little bit. I'm not quite as tall as Steve is. Yeah. I just want to start by praising the Lord. Lord, you have blessed me. You've blessed me beyond what I ever dreamed or imagined, what I ever thought or could earn or be given, just by knowing you. And now you've blessed me with this opportunity to share my testimony. Thank you, Lord. Friends, brothers and sisters, how many here have ever thought that maybe, just maybe, when God had called you to the ministry of your lives, maybe he didn't know what he was talking about? Don't be shy. Raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. See, I had a plan when I graduated from Indiana University with a degree in journalism in 1999. I had a plan. My plan was to become a sports writer. My plan was to cover the Indiana Pacers, the Indianapolis Colts, the Indy 500, and the Indiana Hoosiers. It was my plan. God looked at my plan and said, "Isn't that cute?" Now, I could handle my plan being challenged. I could handle my plan being disagreed with. I could handle the Lord saying, "Okay, how are you going to make that work?" But no, he said, "Well, isn't that cute?" The good news is, I got to cover the Indiana Pacers, the Indianapolis Colts, the Indy 500, and the Indiana Hoosiers. And God said, "All right, how's your plan working?" Well, Lord, I keep getting this tug on my heart. I keep getting this vision that I'm not supposed to be here." He's like, "Really? Curious. What vision do you have?" "Well, Lord, I think I need to go into ministry." "Really? Would you like to hear my plan now, Adam?" "Are you saying that my plan wasn't good enough?" "Well, no. "Would you like to hear my plan now, Adam?" "Sure, okay. Well, I tried my plan. May as well try yours too." No. "Are you willing to give yourself to my plan, Adam?" "Can we talk about this, Lord?" "Well, Adam, let's look around at what you're doing here." And that's when I realized our God is a sneaky God. Very sneaky. You see, all the while that I had been instituting my plan, he had been instituting his plan. I thought that I was a sports writer. I went to work every day. I wore a WWJD bracelet because that was kind of the Christian statement at the time. You know, those bracelets were very popular. And I tried to be kind to people because the Lord has been so great to me. I tried to share with people because the Lord had shared with me. I tried to love people because the Lord has loved me. And you know what God did with that? He instituted his plan. He turned that newspaper into a church. Not my plan. He brought people to me who said, "You're a Christian, right?" Yeah, I'm a Christian. "Tell us about Jesus." "God?" He brought a neighbor to me with a question. "Can you help me move my car into the driveway?" Simple thing. It's the middle of winter. I'm praying at this point in my life about whether or not I should go to seminary. Whether or not I should leave sports journalism and become a pastor. And my next door neighbor, in the middle of January, middle of the night, asks me to help him back his car into the driveway. It takes us 30 minutes to get his car into the driveway. And I'm shivering. And he comes out to thank me and he says, "Let me ask you something. Why did you do that?" I opened my mouth, and who should put his words into my mouth but the Holy Spirit? "It's because of Jesus." I'm like, "Who said that?" My next door neighbor said, "Tell me about him." "God?" An hour later, I'm still shivering. My next door neighbor says, "You know what? You need to become a pastor. Because I don't like church. I don't like church people. I don't like church buildings. I don't like church paraphernalia. I don't even like the word church. But I would go to your church." Lord? Again, God instituted his plan where I thought my plan was. God moved me where he wanted me. And so I yielded to come to Asbury Seminary. I came. I did online classes for 2 years. I gave up my career as a sports writer, moved down to campus. And as a little bit of a side story, my last year as a sports writer, I was blessed with covering the Indianapolis Colts football team. I got to go to the games. I got to go into the locker room afterwards. I almost got to touch Peyton Manning. That close. But then if they'd gone to the Super Bowl, I would have got to go to the Super Bowl and cover the Super Bowl. That's like the highlight of my life as a sports writer. I almost got to go to the Super Bowl. They lost, and I didn't get to go. I gave up my career. I moved down here. Very next year, they go to the Super Bowl. Yeah, thanks, Lord. You're funny. So I come down to Asbury, and I have a plan. My plan is I'm going to graduate, and then I'm going to go into college ministry. I really feel called to the college folks, to the unreached people in college. And the Lord says, "Well, isn't that cute?" I'm walking through by the SPO one day, and I see a flyer that says, "There's a job opening teaching English as a second language in Korea." I'm like, "Huh, that's interesting." And I walk on. And the Lord says, "Hey, Adam, would you like to hear my plan?" "No, seriously, Lord. No, seriously. No, seriously?" So fine. I submit to that plan. I'm like, "Okay, Lord, if I'm going to go, then I'm going to go for this amount of time. This is my plan now. I'm going to go. I'm going to teach English on the other side of the world. I'm going to do this for you. But I'm not going to have any serious relationships." The Lord says, "Well, isn't that cute? Would you like to hear my plan?" There are a couple of you here who know that plan. As I take this next step, I have seen how great and wonderful the ways of the Lord are. I want to encourage everyone, no matter what plans you have, no matter what you think your ministry is going to be, no matter what you think you're going to do with your lives, no matter what you think you've already done with your lives, never forget to look for the opportunities to submit to the Lord's plan. And never forget that when you are submitting to this plan, when you're walking out of what he's calling you to do, that he's going to be there empowering you. I'd like to leave you with a verse that has become my life verse. It's from a book that's not read from very much in church, the book of Zephaniah. My favorite verse in the whole Bible, chapter 3, verse 17. I've had to really rest on this verse a lot, as my plans have fallen one by one to his plan. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Never forget, when we're walking in submission, that the Lord our God is with us, that it is he who is mighty to save. And no matter how much we have planned our own lives and how far our plans have seemed to be from his, that he will take great delight in you. That his love is that quieting love that we can run to when our plans fail. And that he is rejoicing over us with singing as he sees us walk out his plan. May the Lord bless and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.